Today on Seculo, is the Biden administration ignoring U.S. academic infiltration by Chinese nationals? We'll talk about it with Rick Rennell.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
In more than a head-scratching move, the Department of Justice just last Friday dropped individual cases against five Chinese researchers in the United States accused of hiding their ties, current ties, to the Chinese military. One of these individuals actually admitted to the FBI that they were instructed by the Chinese government to report back, is the term used. These are individuals in the U.S. at U.S. research institutions, top institutions in our country, Harvard, MIT, you know, the list goes on. And they are known to be not just Chinese nationals, but working for the Chinese government. And in many cases, the Chinese military itself and its apparatuses. But there's been this criticism now, well, this is to blame Asian people, and this is about like the Asian hate we've seen, the coronavirus. But let's be clear here. We're not talking about Chinese Americans. We're not talking about Japanese people. We're not talking about Asian people in general. We're talking about Chinese government agents, Chinese foreign nationals, not Americans.
Right.
Chinese foreign nationals who lied about continuing to work for the Chinese government when they got their visas to participate in these programs. And what it has done is uncover a massive program by China where there are thousands of students, researchers, professors, who they're self-funding.
Yes.
So they're providing the money to the universities to bring them in. And we saw a crackdown begin under the Trump administration.
Especially at the university level.
And now that crackdown has been halted. And the question is it over with because of political correctness instead of targeting? It shouldn't matter. They are Chinese foreign nationals. There's nothing to do with race there. They're foreign nationals of a hostile government.
But a couple things that are interesting here. One is we know about the situation in Swalwell's office and in, I think it was Feinstein's office,
yep,
where they had Chinese nationals that were allegedly engaged in espionage type of activities, including, I think, one of her drivers. So this has been an ongoing problem. That's a reality. The government was investigating that. We now know also, and we've heard this from both Rick Rennell and we've heard it also from Mike Pompeo, that the infiltration at the university level has been serious. But I want to underscore something Jordan said. This is not an attack on Chinese people. This is an attack on Chinese nationals affiliated with the government that are spying in the United States. And then they'll say, well, you're profiling. And I'm going to go to our former assistant U.S. attorney and head of the criminal division, the Department of Justice in Atlanta, Andy Economo, and said, every crime is profiled.
Yes, of course it is. That is the standard operating procedure that we utilize in making determinations of criminal activity through profiling of that nature. And it's not race-based, it's not discriminatory, it's not based on an animus dealing with racial characteristics or because of ethnicity or religion. It's based on the realities of the situation, and that's what we have here. As Jordan said, and you repeated, we're not talking about Asians generally or Japanese or Chinese people or Americans. We're talking about nationals of China who've ensconced themselves and infiltrated institutions of higher learning and institutions of great influence in the United States. And we are profiling them.
For the purpose of espionage. And I mean,
that's
and
right.
One
first
of them.
And
the Chinese government is not really denying that. They sent 1,000 students home as the crackdown began, Jordan.
Yeah, and they are researching areas that are highly suspect, biomedical, artificial intelligence, especially at a time when we know that now that the leading theory is that COVID was created in a lab in China. And these people are reporting back, using these resources, and also gaining the support of academic institutions, American academics, who are also on the Chinese payroll. We're going to be talking about all this today, breaking it down for you. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. And Rick Rennell, former Director of National Intelligence, join us next.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, just a minute, we'll go to Rick Rendell, a former acting director of national intelligence, ambassador to Germany, and a special counsel for the ACLJ on foreign affairs and national security on this issue of this involving Chinese nationals. There's five specific that have raised the eyebrows of members of Congress and in Washington, D.C., because these five who were known to have lied, I mean, they have photos of their military in their military uniforms now. They uncovered that. But then they dropped all the charges. It happened 2 days before the Deputy Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman, from the Biden administration, traveled to China.
Which means usually, and because we've been involved in these things, which usually means there's something much deeper going on here.
At the same time, you have congressmen like Ted Lieu saying, it's not the Chinese that should be investigated. Foreign nationals who, again, not Chinese Americans. There's a huge distinction there if you're an American or not. I mean, if you're working for a foreign government, it should not matter what the color of your skin is or what you look like. It's that you work for a hostile government and you lied about it on top of that, so you shouldn't be in our institutions anymore. He wants them investigated.
Yep. All right. So, Rick, you were the acting director of national, you were the head of national intelligence, director of national intelligence. Your reaction to this move by the Justice Department under President Biden?
Look, I'm fearful that we're getting to the point where prosecutions are political. And what I mean by that is they pursue certain cases and drop other cases. And that weaponization of DOJ, we saw in the Trump administration when the FBI and DOJ officials ignored facts and tried to pursue a conclusion that was political in nature with the whole Russian collusion narrative. They knew from the beginning that all of the facts were against them, but they wanted a political outcome. And I fear that now, let's be honest here, Joe Biden in the campaign called Hunter Biden's laptop Russian disinformation. He's never disavowed that. And think about that. All of the information we've been able to find out about Hunter Biden in China, what the Chinese know, how they've utilized him, all of that was dismissed by just saying, well, that's Russian disinformation. That's not true. We had 50 former intelligence officials come out and sign a letter and say this is Russian disinformation. That is not true. It's never been corrected, and the media don't pursue it. So I fear that these prosecutions are an extension of what Joe Biden is trying to push with DOJ, with the FBI, with others, of protecting Hunter Biden and his relationships in China.
Rick, one of the things I think that's most troubling here is that there's this push by members of Congress, Ted Lieu and others, on the Democrat side, but I think playing into the Biden administration's decision here, is that we shouldn't actually be investigating these Chinese researchers who are not Americans. They are Chinese foreign nationals who are here. They lied on their visas. I mean, that should just get you kicked out of the country right away. But if you were obviously engaged in espionage, it's more serious than that. But they're trying to turn it around and say, no, this is attacking Asian researchers in America. Instead of focusing in on the threat that China poses, this is not about Asian American researchers. This is not about Japanese researchers. This is about specifically Chinese representatives of the Chinese government lying about their connections or work with the Chinese government. And then being in our top institutions, the FBI knows it. It looks like they bungled some of this, to say the least, and may have hampered the DOJ's move. But there's also this. It scares me when they start making these political moves to say, well, we can't investigate this at all because that's Asian hate.
I have to be very careful here because I know a little bit too much after serving as acting right. DNI. But let me just say this to Ted Lieu. He knows better. Mm. And it's shameful what he is doing. It's really hard for me to talk about this subject and Ted Lieu and what he knows. But the reality is we know that the Chinese have sent spies over. We know their work. We shut down the Houston consulate. We should have shut down the San Francisco consulate. We didn't. I think we need a bigger response. We're going to get less of a response from the Biden team because of their connections to China. And what Ted Lieu is doing is so shameful because he's taking advantage of being Asian and pretending. Look, let me be clear. He's protecting China. He is doing China's bidding when he says things like this. And he should be very, very careful because he's spreading misinformation and he knows it.
You know, Rick, I have been to Beijing. Jordan has been to Beijing. We participated in a conference on First Amendment, kind of free speech and religious liberty in China. And of course, everyone knows that's listening to this broadcast that China is one of the worst offenders of human rights of any country in the world. And on religious freedom, you have to have underground churches. Pastors get arrested every day. It's still an issue. So their human rights record is horrendous. And it's almost as if we reward them by coming over to the United States. And I'm talking again about Chinese nationals affiliated with the government that are here to spy on the United States, to gather information, and it's like we're rewarding them for bad behavior.
It's such a crisis. I have to be so careful talking about the issue. It is such a crisis in America with what the Chinese are doing. Look, I always say that Russia is a problem, but China is a crisis. Mm. And we've given too many defensive briefings to politicians who ignore some of the work that they're doing. And it's got to stop. And unfortunately, they feel that we've wound ourselves backwards with the Biden team. The Biden team is very nervous about what China knows about Hunter Biden. It's why the whole lingering idea that everything on Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation continues to be something that reporters, the propagandists in Washington, D.C. are afraid to challenge the ruling party on this issue. You know, Politico, which originally pushed this idea of Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation, has never disavowed that. Right. We've had people like Leon Panetta, who signed the letter. And let's be very clear. They never saw one iota of a piece of raw intel that suggested that. That was a political argument 3 weeks before the election. It was pushed by Joe Biden. It was pushed by 50 former intelligence officials. It was pure politics pushed by Politico, and no one in Washington has ever rolled that back to say we were wrong. So, Rick, they were wrong.
Let me ask you this, because I think to get right down to what I think is the major issue here, and that is You said, this was really well said, Russia is a problem, China is a crisis. I want to put this in context. I mean, you were, and I'm not asking you to disclose anything, obviously, that you're not supposed to disclose. You were the acting DNI. I mean, you were the Director of National Intelligence for the United States. In your ranking of problems, is China number one?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard because, number one, I'm not sure what the criteria is.
Yeah.
I always say that China is a crisis that's going on right now. And with the Biden administration in charge, with their ability to mimic the Beijing lines, that Russia is the problem. That's exactly what the Chinese want us to say, is look over at Russia, look over there, don't look at us. And this whole idea that China is somehow just a partner to be managed is very scary when you look at the intel.
Yeah, no, it's exactly the thought I have, and it's my chief concern.
Yeah, I mean, Ray, on the academic side, this to me, and I know we have to be careful, but we're seeing it in mass that this is obviously where they've wanted to target, where they focused in on is. Yes, we've seen members of Congress and the issues that Swalwell's had and others, but it's a massive move at the U.S. research institutions to place these individuals.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I just think we have to cut through this narrative, which is going to be pushed on. It seems like everything these days that it's somehow impolite or offensive or wrong to target nationals of another country who are working for their government.
Yeah, and so Rick, go ahead.
I was just going to say, university presidents in the United States have not had enough scrutiny on how much they pay individuals, how much all of the, assistant vice presidents and vice presidents and all of the administrative people get paid, while at the same time collecting money from China and Chinese interest.
Yeah.
It is a scandal. And obviously, the Chinese money has leveraged many of these university presidents and university administrations because they need the money because they've made commitments. I mean, look, Joe Biden got $919,000 from the University of Pennsylvania to be some sort of a fellow. That's outrageous when you look at the cost of education.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your insight on this, Rick. This is we're going to be coming back to this. This is a serious, serious situation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I just think, and it's one that it's fraught with all these different, political situations. Instead of just dealing with the problem, as Rick said, the crisis that is at our doorstep. But yet, as we point out, I mean, you got the U.S. officials are representing these individuals.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
referring to at the very end with Rick is that what is happening in these institutions. So in these five cases we're talking about specifically that were just dropped by the Department of Justice on Friday, just dropped. The trial was supposed to begin today. And Wendy Sherman, Deputy Secretary of State, is in China now. So whether that was part of some negotiated deal is a side issue from the bigger problem that it's not about just these five individuals. But when you look at the support, so these five individuals put on their visas. They're not, they didn't serve in the military. Well, everyone serves in the military in China. So right away they've lied on their visas. But then some admitted that they were sending information back to Beijing, and that they were instructed to do that.
But by the Chinese government.
But the university professors, right. The American professors, signed letters backing to the court and to the FBI backing up the Chinese foreign nationals who lied on their application to come to America and then are engaged in what appears to be espionage and serious, serious crimes. But these U.S. academics are getting the money, like Rick is talking about. They get paid on their salary. But what we're not seeing is the grant money. And the grant money also goes to the – it gets spread out amongst – that's how you get the students in. That's how you get the
– foundations paid for.
Right. That's how you get the Biden Center for Foreign Policy, whatever that is, at Penn. Top institutions, again, Ivy League focus. And the professors stand with the Chinese.
Yes. And Devin Nunez, our friend, the congressman from California, said this. Take a listen.
To describe the Biden foreign policy, and I described it as speak really, really loud, but carry a twig. So remember, earlier in this week, we had an example where the United States, with our allies, went out and said very loudly that the Chinese Communist Party was engaged in cyber intrusions and cyber attacks. And they said, oh, bad guys. Well, meanwhile, then a few days later, out of nowhere, these Chinese spies somehow that were supposed to be prosecuted are released and they dropped the charges. So how is that working?
I'll tell you how it's working. Then Wendy Sherman went to the Deputy Secretary of State, went to China. So, I don't know the ins and outs of what was going on there, but this has raised a lot of red flags. I want to go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs. This is a serious issue. It's been a serious issue. They've invaded offices in Congress. They are invading the universities. When I say invading, they are targeting these universities. And I'm talking about this. These are people that then become basically implanted spies. What's the reaction in Washington?
This is my biggest concern, Jay, and I think it's the biggest concern on Capitol Hill as well. When questions like these arise, and Ambassador Grinnell, properly described it as when you have questions about whether or not prosecutorial decisions get political, there's recourse, Jay, and that recourse is congressional oversight. But here's the problem. We know now, this is not hyperbole, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt the Chinese government is also having success infiltrating not just the halls of Congress, Jay, but actually the offices of members that sit on the Intelligence Committee. And unfortunately, Speaker Pelosi is not taking action to remove those members. So I think it's fair in a moment like this, on a day like this, to ask what portion of the federal government is adequately prepared to combat the threat of China? Because if we're going to depend on congressional oversight while people like Eric Swalwell sit on the Intelligence Committee, Jay, I don't have a lot of confidence in that.
And we're talking about the Chinese Communist Party. Let's be clear. Okay, we're talking about one of the greatest human rights abusers in the world. We're talking about, Christian pastors still in jail in China. I mean, this is what goes on there. I mean, and then, we've got to keep a rapport with them. They're a big trading partner, so I understand all of the geopolitical implications. But the fact is, Andy, when a crime has been committed, you would expect the Department of Justice to be able to, in one particular case, actually get it right. And the FBI would read things like the Miranda warnings, which apparently they did not do to some of these.
Yeah, it seems like they have failed in the process. The criminal procedure in the process is nothing new to the FBI. It's nothing new to law enforcement. Miranda has been the law since the 60s in the United States. If someone is in custody for a crime and you want to question them, you have to give them their constitutional right to not incriminate themselves and to have the assistance of counsel. That's fundamental. You simply say that, you read it off a card, and you explain this to the person that you're questioning. There should be no failure in those fundamental aspects of the criminal procedure.
But here's where I think everybody acknowledges the Chinese threat to espionage. I think that's across the board. Everybody acknowledges in U.S. circles that there is a real threat with Chinese espionage targeting the United States, whether it's universities, whether it's offices of Congress, whether it's in the academy, or whether it's in business. However, an FBI agent, these are the reports, made a recent admission that he baselessly targeted a Chinese-Canadian researcher in an economic espionage probe, and that has led to a flood of criticism. So again, an FBI agent, in this particular case, gets it wrong, and now an entire project can be closed down, except we know it's an ongoing problem. That, to me, is where the FBI is continuing to fail. Andy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You don't close down the entire project simply because there has been a misstep in connection with one aspect of it. You continue the investigation, but you do it consistent with what the Constitution and the laws of the United States provide. Look, these Chinese nationals are here implanting themselves in elitist institutions, allying themselves with elitist professors for purposes of espionage. The professors are being paid off. They're getting their salaries, as Jordan said, plus they're getting money from the foundations, and they're supporting these nationals who are here to do one, simply one thing, and that is to report back information that they find out from these universities and from these researchers to the Chinese Communist Party and to the government. Why are we so naive and not recognize that, Jay? It's so obvious. It's so true.
Well, the issue here is this is not an ally. This is not a friend. This is not a country that, I mean, there's many countries where you could see that this work, this posed no issue. But this is different because we're talking about the Chinese Communist Party and actors within that party who are loyal, not to the academic institution, and it's not even about the money. To them, it's about their work for the Chinese Communist Party, what information they can get back from the United States because of this high-level research into artificial intelligence. I mean, why would we let any Chinese national right now be involved in any biomedical research in the United States? If, right, as it's now been determined, because it cut through political correctness finally at the scientific level, that it was likely created in a Chinese lab. Shouldn't they all be maybe put on hold? And again, we're not talking about Asian people. We're talking about specific Chinese foreign nationals operating in the United States, yep, who lied on their visas, who are here illegally. We know that they are here illegally. And yet, American academics are standing with the Chinese, choosing the Chinese over their own country's interest.
Gordon Chang, who's an expert on
the Chinese would never do
on
that.
The Near East and the Far East and the region of China, specifically China. Listen to what he had to say.
This mantra, which has existed for a decade, of cooperate where you can, compete where you have to, this just does not work. I mean, it sounds good. The State Department loves it because it involves diplomacy. But you can't contain a China, you can't stop its dangerous activities if you think that China is going to help you on other things.
And look, it's complicated because it's a huge trading partner. They control a tremendous amount of the antibiotics and medications that come to the United States, come out of China. So we get the complications, but we don't need to be naive. And they are the biggest, one of the most significant abusers of human rights in the world, especially on issues of religious freedom, where it's been very difficult for Christians to sustain themselves. Although the church is huge in China, because you can't stop the gospel by a hostile regime. It's more powerful than the hostile regime. But we got to know who we're dealing with, and that's who we're dealing with.
Support the work of the ACLJ. Remember, we got a matching challenge at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. When we get back second half hour two, we're going to address some of this January 6th commission that's ongoing on Capitol Hill right now. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The main topic we've been focusing on today so far is the issue involving China and what came to light on Friday when charges were dropped by the Department of Justice against five Chinese foreign nationals, researchers at U.S. academic institutions, for various crimes that they had committed. One that they all had in common was applications so that for their visas were fraudulent. They didn't disclose their current ties to the Chinese Communist Party's military. Not that they had, or that even if they had previously served, you have to note that. By the way, that's a normal visa question. That's like, if I get a visa for India or to Russia, they always ask that. It's always on the visa. Did you serve in your country's military or are you currently serving? It's not necessarily going to be a reason to deny you a visa, but they want to know. Do you have those connections or not? These individuals, they all lied about that. Others already had confessed that they were told by Beijing to report back. So they are being used. It's not the high-level sophisticated spying and getting inside Boeing or getting inside. But these are the researchers. These are the researchers who get the grants from the Boeings.
Exactly.
Who get the grants from military research, biomedical research, which we have now see that China is a bad actor in this world, but yet we're told we can't focus on the Chinese because they're Chinese. Think about that.
You just said the biomedical.
Yeah.
Okay. Have we not gone through enough to understand the dangers of the Chinese government as a relation? They threw the World Health Organization out. Done. So it's nothing to do with animus, as Andy said, against Chinese people. It's against those affiliated with the Chinese national government, which is the Chinese Communist Party, that are sent here to spy. It wouldn't matter what ethnicity they were if they were engaged in that kind of activity. But to say that this is, you know, some kind of discrimination is absurd. And that's what the FBI basically utilizes or the Department of Justice as a basis upon which they will drop the case, Andy. That's pretty much what they said.
Well, yeah, they said they're going to, you know, well, there was a racial animus behind this. Well, there wasn't. The reality was that somebody failed to give a proper constitutional warning, if that in fact is the reason for the dismissal of the case. But I don't think it's any coincidence that five cases were I've been a prosecutor most of my life. You dismiss five cases against Chinese nationals for crimes committed against the United States, and then Wendy Sherman, the Deputy Secretary of State, goes to China. I mean, come on, who are you talking this to? Someone that just came in from, some sort of region off the planet?
Yeah, no. I mean, the fact of the matter is we've been involved in those kind of negotiations, so we know that there's always stuff going on.
It's bigger than that.
Much bigger than that.
Much bigger than five people.
Because it's putting our national security at risk. Harry, how do you view the situation right now with China?
Well, I view the Chinese as the greatest national security threat that we face as a nation. That's number one. Number two, my fear is that the Biden administration is congenitally incompetent to deal with the Chinese government. And the Biden administration has been compromised and perhaps has become complicit in the Chinese government's attempt to grab power and influence in the United States. And so the key issue here is whether or not the American people can muster enough force to demand that the Biden administration put American interests first rather than Chinese interests. That, I think, is the quintessential question which faces the Biden administration going forward.
All right, folks, we come back. We're going to, again, discuss this. We're going to also discuss the January 6th quotes commission that is on Capitol Hill, a partisan commission looking at this, what happened on January 6th, problems there as well. 1-800-684-3110. And I think members of Congress are being very direct, very honest about it, that this commission, again, hyper-partisan, and when you look at the individuals on it and the individuals who aren't on it, who aren't being included. So we'll talk about that as well when we come back on Secular.
Hey,
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Joe Biden, 2019. So this is pre the virus, but at the same time, knowing that there's an issue with China, I mean, this is no surprise. Remember, the Trump administration had launched this law enforcement campaign to root out the bad actors in U.S. academic institutions, Chinese nationals, who were providing information or acting as spies in various fields of research in the United States, and getting, they were also doling out money and cash to Americans and to American institutions. But listen to what Joe Biden said to a rally. Take a listen.
China is going to eat our lunch. Come on, man. They can't even figure out how to deal with the fact that they have this great division between the China Sea and the mountains in the east, I mean, in the west. They can't figure out how they're going to deal with the corruption that exists within the system. I mean, they're not bad folks, but guess what? They're not competition for us.
As we speak right now, Wes, they have been accused by the U.S. government, including the Biden administration, of an ongoing genocide. Uh-huh. Sounds like bad folks to me.
This is a
communist party. We shouldn't have a problem identify them as bad.
Yeah.
Because if you say that they commit genocide, they're bad.
They are,
I mean,
bad.
That's just basic.
They have one of the worst human rights records, on the planet. And yet in the middle of all this, of course, our present Secretary of State is inviting the UN Human Rights Commission, which includes China, to come investigate us because of human rights abuses. Here's the thing. China is a military, economic, and national security threat. What the FBI uncovered, and actually the concern over Chinese students here, began with the Obama administration. It was spotlighted by President Trump. But what we're looking at is a Beijing-directed operation to help China fulfill their military and their technological ambitions. And you mentioned the students who were here who did not declare they were actually serving in the People's Liberation Army. They were also, many of them, spying and sending sensitive information either back to China or to their Chinese handlers who were diplomats here in the United States. The bottom line is this is a Beijing-directed operation to help China, and they were using students in espionage activities. And China is not our friend. They are a military, economic, and national security threat.
It feels like exactly the same thing happened with Russia. Remember, President Obama mocked Republicans and Mitt Romney when he was running for president for saying that Russia was the threat. And they mocked that then when Donald Trump went, it was all Russia. Russia had conducted, they believed at that time that Russia was the reason why Donald Trump was elected. That's how they were, you know, got to the position they were. So we've seen this time and time again from these same actors, the Biden team, the Obama team are the same actors. They mocked Romney for saying Russia, and now they're saying we can't. China, I mean, literally Joe Biden saying they're not competition for us. That is just not living in reality.
Well, it's not living in reality because they're
an economic and military.
I was going to say economically and militarily, Harry. They are a number one competitor.
Absolutely, but I think
what are they talking about?
In fairness to the Democrats, it's important to put on the table this fact that the Democrats have been living in a land of make believe with respect to China and with respect to the real threats to the American people. And so the Democrats have allowed the Chinese government to run roughshod with respect to intellectual property rights in the United States for the last 20 to 40 years. The Democrats have allowed the Chinese to take control, essentially, of the drug manufacturing capability of the United States.
Which is unreal. When you think about the risk that puts us at, that is unreal, folks. Right.
And that constitutes a national security threat, irrespective of whether or not the Democrats understand it or not. So I think we now need to move from the land of illusion to the land of reality. And I fear that this particular administration is incapable of moving in the right direction.
Here's an interesting comment from Joe Biden, the president of the United States, about China. Here we go.
We'll confront China's economic abuses, counter its aggressive, coercive action to push back on China's attack on human rights, intellectual property, and global governance.
And we're going to close down our entire investigative apparatus as it related to these people.
Well, and they are responsible either directly or through extreme negligence for the shutdown of the entire world. I mean, this is
talking about the pandemic.
Yes. Shutdown of the entire world. I mean, what we should
have done.
What
is the damages that the Chinese government, if in fact
every
it is proven.
Dime.
If
every
it is proven, it should be, if it is proven, and evidence looks that way right now, that this pandemic that is again hitting round two here, it seems like, of the world, came out of a lab in China, which all the evidence is pointing to, although it was dismissed by everybody in the beginning, but now it's not, looks like it wasn't coming out of the wet market in China, but out of the lab in Wuhan. What is the Chinese government's economic responsibility for what they engaged in? That's what I keep asking, Andy. What is the economic impact to the Chinese government? Because right now, you know what it is to them? Nothing. Because their concern about human rights is zero, including their own people.
That's exactly right. So they lost a few people in China. So what? So they poisoned and infected the entire world by this virus, and whether it was done negligently or intentionally remains to be seen. My opinion, it was done intentionally. It was done with malice aforethought, to use a term that I am familiar with in my business. But I think it was done, obviously, with intent to create economic chaos and consequences in the world, of which they bear no responsibility whatsoever. Look, I happen to take, and you mentioned the threat that China poses in terms of the control. I took four medications this morning, Jay. Every single one of them was made in China.
Right.
This is a scary prospect.
No, this is the
car
control
market. You can't get the chips.
They can't get chips for your automobiles right now. That's why cars can't be delivered. You understand? I want our audience to understand this. Because of our economic reliance on China, not just our partners, our reliance on China, that if they shut down the antibiotic production into the United States, you're talking catastrophic consequences. The manufacturing of chips is not done in the United States anymore. It's done in China. That's why cars are sitting in ports but can't operate because the chips can't be inserted. Why? Because we don't have the chips. Harry, it's economic warfare.
Absolutely. And so we have cars that are sitting on lots in the Detroit area, in Alabama and elsewhere. They cannot be sold. And so why? Because the chips are missing. So what the automobile manufacturers are doing is that they're putting chips in temporarily to move them off the lots, then taking the chips out in order to insert them in other cars, but then those cars cannot be sold to the American people. But I think it's even worse than what the Chinese have done, in the sense that we have clear and unmistakable evidence of U.S. complicity, going back to the pandemic, going back to what Andy was suggesting. Where is the U.S. complicity found? It is found in this particular fact, that the U.S. government has funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan. And how do we know this? Because Mr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, essentially has admitted that. And so if you think about it, we, in some sense, have funded our own demise with respect to the pandemic, and it needs to stop. We need to stop subsidizing the Chinese.
One last thing I wanted to ask Wes before we go to a break, and that is, you touched on this, and that is the fact that the individuals that we've now dropped the cases against had significantized militarily. They were part of the military. How big of a, you're a retired colonel in the United States Army.
That is huge. It is huge, especially when you consider the fact that China's goal is to replace the United States as the world's only superpower. They have stated that. They have the largest military budget in the world. There's the theft of not just intellectual property when it comes to electronics or computers or other things. It's the theft of military secrets. Their new fighter plane looks mysteriously so much like our F-35 because of stealing technology like that. They are a huge threat. They're built up in the South China Sea, their human rights abuses, all of these things that China is doing. We are crippled in our response to them because we're not willing to make the hard choices to divorce ourselves economically from this horrible country that abuses and kills their own people, that manipulates the world.
And clamps down on religious freedom. There is no religious freedom. Yeah.
And yet, because of our economic ties, whether it's cars or medicine or medical equipment or whatever, we cannot take a hard stance, and we need to.
Yeah, we have to. We cannot let this game be played that this is racial. This is national. This is about nation versus nation, not races versus races. And everything being put in that category is extremely dangerous for our national security and for confronting these problems head on. So we're going to, again, continue to talk about this. Obviously, China's not going anywhere, and it seems like our policy is backpedaling. But we're also going to talk about January 6th when we come back from this break. This committee on January 6th and what other members of Congress have to say about this so-called bipartisan committee of two people who are no longer in line with, I'd say, the mainstream Republican Party. Again, so we'll talk about that. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. Part of our matching challenge, month of July at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Secular. If you've tuned into the news at all today on cable news, you've seen this January 6th commission start operating on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. It's completely partisan. I mean, the bipartisan veneer on this is that you've got Liz Cheney, who we know where her, you know, her position is, it's somehow sometimes more extreme than Democrats. Same with Adam Kinzinger. These are people who just did not like Donald Trump from the get-go. They were always opposed to him, not always some of the policies, but they were, again, strong to condemn supporting impeachment efforts, even these blatantly partisan efforts. And so they are complicit in an investigation that could be legitimate. You could legitimately have a hearings, definitely, sure, on why there was a breakdown of security, why they didn't have more people available when you knew you had 100,000 plus people who were angry in Washington, D.C. and rallying. They didn't have, you know, and they were going to march without permits down the street and engage first in civil disobedience and then in actually a trespass, violent trespassing. Sure, investigate it, but allow members of the party. And I always say, if you're going to have the Adam Schiff, you've got to have the Jim George. You've got to have the balance,
yeah,
of the more partisan, hard-hitting actors.
Yeah, so
the ones who are going to go on to TV and hit back and punch back. And instead, it's Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin.
It's,
and then the two Republicans
three
who support Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin, right, the two they can find. But I want people to listen to this. This is Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. She's the House Republican Conference Chair now. This is what she had to say today about the January 6th committee. Take a listen.
It is a fact that the U.S. Capitol Police raised concerns. And rather than providing them with the support and resources they needed and they deserved, she prioritized her partisan political optics over their safety. The American people deserve to know the truth that Nancy Pelosi bears responsibility as Speaker of the House for the tragedy that occurred on January 6th.
So Republicans not concerned about investigations, but they want to be a part of it, and they know now this is a game by Nancy Pelosi to distract.
But this is
who was responsible for Capitol security is not the President of the United States. It's not the minority party. It is the majority. Is the Speaker of the House.
Yeah. So here's what's interesting to me. While we're covering this, it's at the end of the broadcast, but we look up on the screen during the break. Jordan and I do, and up is, there's Jamie Raskin, and there was Adam Schiff. And I said, oh, impeachment three. I mean, this is like, here we go again. Not finding out where the security, they fired the Capitol Hill, the sergeant at arms. They're all been fired. What you need to find out in an investigation like this is, actually, Andy, what happened?
That would be a nice thing to know, Jay.
Yeah.
Just exactly what happened. In other words, have a factual finding thing by an impartial tribunal or a committee of Congress that is truly bipartisan, that, as you said, has a balance of people like Jim Jordan on it, who can advocate the side for the other aspects of this, and make an inquiry and an investigation to determine who or what and where and how it happened. What's the sergeant-at-arms responsibility? What was the Speaker of the House's responsibility? And so forth. This is not an investigation that's being conducted. This is a one-sided sort of grand jury inquiry,
yeah,
which is not an adversary proceeding, which is simply an accusatory body, and that's not what this is ultimately going to come out and show to be the truth.
I want to be clear here, and we did this on January 6th. I condemn what these individuals that invaded the Capitol did and attempted to do. It was an attack on our democracy. Okay? So I'm clear. This was an attack on our democracy by people that were up to dangerous activity. Number two, if we're going to address the seriousness of this, let's do so in a way that actually, as Andy just said, gets to fact. I want to know. Our office is across the street. We'd like to know what happened. We have a vested interest in it. How did it break down like this? How did they get in easily? It was the sheer numbers. Why were not the National Guard brought in earlier? Why were not the Capitol Police getting reinforcements? I don't know the answers to this. Those are legitimate questions. But does it have to be Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin to do this?
I think so, for Nancy Pelosi's sake, because I think members of Congress know that answer. We may not know that answer, but they know the answer. They believe, I mean, what they are stating directly, McCarthy, Stefanik, others, is this was Nancy Pelosi's fault. Not the rioters, But the lack of security, the lack of law enforcement and National Guard. Remember, this was after a summer of massive protests in the streets across America, many that turned violent, unfortunately with these bad actors. And yet Washington knew. They had days, weeks to plan for this, knowing that this could turn violent, could turn get wild. So lock it down. Lock down and make sure you can. And they did not.
They did not.
Not only did they not, it was like there was no security. Right. The police that are testifying are saying they were basically coming from outside
the ring,
which to me it just shows you right there. But remember, the National Guard, that all got politicized too. We can't trust them anymore. Remember, that was a narrative from last summer too. Can't trust them. They're all Trump supporters, so we don't want to bring them to Capitol Hill.
Right.
Well, the two sergeants at arms, one in the Senate, one in the House, that lost their jobs, both stated that they warned the Democratic leadership how serious the threat was, and they needed reinforcements, and they were totally ignored, especially by Nancy Pelosi, who flat out rejected their request for added security. I began watching the hearings today because I was very interested, and I thought it was going to be a fact-finding hearing. Why did it happen? You know, what was going on? How do we stop something from this from ever happening again? It is not. This is cover for Nancy Pelosi. It is, and I hate to say this because my heart goes out to these police officers that testify.
Oh, they were a terrible situation.
Yeah, but this was a political dog and pony show today, Jay.
Oh, it was impeachment three.
It is a disservice not only to the American people, it's a disservice to these four officers who are testifying because they're being used as pawns, even though they risk their lives, being used as pawns in a political dog and pony show. It's a shame.
Yeah, Harry, I looked at it today, and the first thing that came to my mind when I saw it was it's the same actors again. It's the same people.
Absolutely. So I think what we have on display in Washington today is the fact that elites seek to impose their sneering moral superiority on rank-and-file Americans. That is why we had two impeachment trials of former President Trump. That is now why we have this one-sided investigation of the events that took place on January the 6th. And so it's very, very imperative for the American people to realize that Adam Schiff was front and center, essentially, with respect to both impeachment trials of President Trump. Now he is front and center with respect to this particular investigation. And Adam Schiff, I would argue, is perhaps the least well-qualified individual in Washington, other than perhaps Eric Swalwell, to lead any investigation that involves important questions for the American people. So at the end of the day, Nancy Pelosi, in my opinion, was largely responsible for some of the mistakes made by the Washington police. She's not responsible for the individuals who initiated the assault on the Capitol. I concede that. But she is responsible for her lack of preparation or the lack of preparation of the security staff.
Yeah, I think as this goes on, the problem with it at the beginning is they wanted to get to the actual information. You wouldn't put hyper-partisan actors like Adam Schiff. And if you're going to allow Adam Schiff, then you have to allow the Jim Jordans, but they didn't. So they put in Republican detractors who are no longer in line with the party, who may no longer be elected in a year because of how they've become these anti-Republican Republicans outside the mainstream, thrown out of leadership. But it has subpoena power, and it's just beginning, so we're going to follow it very closely. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculum.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.